Today's share is Masechta Chulin Daf Nun Beis. We're going to begin on Daf Nun Aleph on the Beis, the first wide line. We continue learning the sugyas of Nefula. We know Nefula is an animal, as we've been discussing, that fell. Typically it means that it fell from a height of 10 tefachim. But as we also discussed in the previous share, there are other circumstances that would cause an animal to be considered a Nefula. And it's important to point out that a nefula is a very specific treifa. It has to do that when it had these different conditions that we've been discussing, we're concerned for risuk avarim. The best definition of risuk avarim I can find is a concussion. That there's a concussion of the inner organs, perhaps. And as we discussed already when we learned the Mishnah, the halach is you have to wait 24 hours and then do a bedika, unless, as we learned in the previous year, as the Ran explains, that if the animal walks, according to some opinions, then no bedika is required, or if the animal stands up, then instead of waiting for 24 hours to do the bedika, you could do the bedika immediately. But the bedika, the investigation, is a crucial part of this process. And without the investigation, the animal remains a treifa when a bedika is required. Furthermore, it's important to point out, and I saw the Paiskim discuss this, again, nefula has nothing to do with pain. An animal in pain may be in the category of musukenis, which we've previously discussed, but nefula is specifically this situation. And therefore, the Gemara can be very well understood as it continues to probe and discuss in our shir what are and aren't situations of nefula. It says the Gemara, Amalei Huna Ma'abrei de Rav Nechemya Lervashi Simonimai. What happens if the animal falls? Must we check the simonim? Amalei Simonim Hein Koshin Eitz Nefila. The way Rashi explains is that this, just because an animal falls, since the simonim are typically firmly in their place, we need not be concerned that the simonim will move out of their place. We spoke about simonim being out of their place. We don't have to be worried that that would happen just because the animal fell. Others say that the Gemara's issue is not with the simonim being out of their place. Rather, the Gemara's issue is regarding simonim being affected, torn, etc., because of falling. And the Gemara says we need not be concerned. Now the Gemara goes into discussing a bird. And what is the halach of a bird and the fula? Amar Yehuda b'Shmu, Oif shenechber al pnei amayim. If a bird fell on the water, so the question is it a nefula? Says the Gemara, Kim Shishat Molek Masai, if it could swim a full length of its length, of the bird's length, Dayo, that's right, that's no problem. However, says the Gemara, V'lay Amaron, El Mamata Mamala, when it's swimming against the current, Ava Mamala Mamata, when it's swimming along with the current, we need to be concerned, Mayim to Ashplas, just the water pushing it, not that it has any independent vitality. V'may kaima, if the water is stagnant, that there is no current, less lumba, then there's nothing to be worried about. V'shod tzivi, but no matter what is the situation, if wood chips are thrown into the water, v'kadme, and the bird is able to swim so quickly that it could get ahead of those wood chips that are thrown into the water, hakadme. That's a proof that it has enough energy and it's fine. Continues the Gemara, Glima Mateach. If you have four pegs and you put out a piece of material tight attached to those pegs, and then a bird is thrown onto that piece of material, since it's tight, that's a situation of Nefula and Chashinen. Glima Mateach, but if it's not put there tight, Loi Chashinen. Oif or Me'ufaf, even if it's put on tightly, but it has layers. So again, the layers absorb the impact, and therefore lechshin. Isli umikatri kitri chashinin. If there are pieces of wood that have knots there, so it's very likely that the bird hit one of those knots, and that impact will cause risuk avarim. cheshinen. Loy mikavri kitri, but if there aren't a lot of knots on the pieces of wood, loy cheshinen. Kitni, the ovid butini, if you have flax that was made into rolls, cheshinen. The haigisa, with the haigisa, loy cheshinen. Which means as follows. If the flax, if the linen was made into a roll, so if the bird hits the top of the roll, so that's where we're concerned about impact, and we're concerned about risk of varim. If it hits the side of the rolls, we need not be concerned. Furthermore, says the Gemara, a sraisa, if they're made into bundles, tied together, so it's a hard bundle, chashinen. Kitna, the daik v'nofitz, if you have the waste material of the flax, that has, if you have the flax that's been completely pressed and combed out, so it's soft, loy chashinen. Daik v'loy nofitz, if it's been pressed but not been combed out, so there's still hard pieces there of the waste, and therefore we're concerned that the bird hit those pieces, chashinen. Da'ovid bizri, kivin de'iktri bay kitre, once they're made into bundles, and again, those bundles have different knots, chashinen. The katka, chashinen, the katka loy chashinen, which means the waste material of the flax. Katka is when it's hard, and therefore we have to be concerned. When it's soft, loy chashinen. Nivra, chashinen, the moss that grows around the trees and it dries out, and they make out of it bundles, chashinen, timtacha, but if it's made into strips, they're not that hard, loy chashinen. Kitma nila, if you have ash that has been sifted and also been pressed, so it's hard, chashinen. Loy nila, but if it hasn't been pressed, so the ash by itself is not that hard, and loy chashinen. Chol hadak, sand that's still thin, that doesn't stick together, so it doesn't form into clumps, loy chashinen. Chol agas, which is clumps, chashinen. Avak drachim, if people walked on the earth, so that hardens the earth, chashinen. Tivna v'ovid basga, if you have straw that was made into bale, chashinen. Loy avid basga, but if it's just straw, loy chashinen. Chiti, wheat, we call them anything that's like wheat, chashinen, because that's harder. Sa'ari is softer, we call them menayu, there's machlokes rishonim. Our gersa here is chashinen, but there's a gersa, the Meiri's gersa is loy chashinen. Called mine kitnius, legumes, einbe mishum risuke avarim, we need not be concerned about a concussion if the bird landed on kidneys. Levam merubia, besides for Funga Creek, which is harder, and we have to be concerned. Chimtzi, aimed by Mishum Rizikavarim, it's a type of herb, aimed by Mishum Rizikavarim. Cheftzi, which are harder, yes, by Mishum Rizikavarim. Klol mil de milsa, komide de misrik, anything that doesn't clump together, anything that doesn't slide, Eimah Mishum Risikavarim, where you could slide off, so there's no real impact. There's no problem, Loy Misrik, but if it isn't slippery, Yeshba Mishum Risikavarim. Dovuk, if we have a new situation, and the way Rashi explains it, is that a glue trap. You put out a trap to catch a bird, and there's glue, and the bird gets stuck to the glue. That's how Rashi learns. I saw other Rishonim explain it this way. If there was a bird on top of a tree and they wanted to get the bird, they took a stick, they put glue on top of the stick, and that's how they got the bird. So Dovik, Rav Ashi Shari, Rav Ashi says that that's not considered Risik Avarim. A Meimer Osir, a Meimer says it is considered Risik Avarim. Says the Gemara, Bechad Gapa, if it's only caught with one wing, says the Gemara, the Kulei Amalei Pligi Deshari, everybody will agree that it's fine. Ki Pligi, betray Gapi. when it's caught by two wings. Manda osur, the one that says it's a problem, amlachaykinakum. Even if it's only stuck with one wing, it's a problem. Manda shari, the one that says if it's stuck with two wings. Manda shari, amlachma, efshe de ekema ikve de gapi. Even if the wings are stuck, doesn't mean the feathers are stuck, and it could get out with the, it's not considered nefula. Vikadamri, and another version of this machloikis, is the tregapi, if it's connected with two wings, kulam le pligid also, everybody will agree that it's asur. Ki pligi, when is there a question? Vechad gapi, when it's attached only with one wing. Mandashari, amlach efshad parach vechad gapi. It could always fly with that one wing that isn't stuck. Mandi asur, and the one that says that it's a problem, says, Kivin Bahailai Matsaparuch, since it can't fly with one wing, because that one wing is stuck, Bahai Namilai Matsaparuch, and says the Gemara of the Hilchos of the Aloch is, Betray Gapi Usr, when it's caught with two wings, it's a problem, it's Nefula, it's Risik Avar, Bechad Gapi Shari, one wing isn't a problem. In fact, I saw the Mepharshim explain, there's a Pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Miyitinli Aver Kiyoina a Ufa Veshkoina. So it's a very difficult pasuk. A Yoina has two wings. So why does David HaMelech say Miyitinli Aver, one wing Kiyoina? She says, Miyitinli Avarim Kiyoina. The answer is, because Al Gemara says that all a bird needs to fly is just one wing. So it says, Miyitinli Aver Kiyoina, as long as I have just one wing, ufa, I'll be able to fly, Veshkoina, even if the other one is resting, it doesn't prevent the bird from flying, as our Gemara teaches. Before we go into the next sugya, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, there's an interesting Rashi, because we've been discussing that whenever there's a concern of nefula, as we said at the beginning of this year, we have to do a bedika. Says Rashi, it's right here along the side of Gemara, whenever the Gemara has taught us and will teach us that bedika is required in the case of nefula, shvur, drusa, the miskri bedika, when we say bedika is required, and if the bedika turns out fine, the animal is fine, the bird is fine, says Rashi, hani maili bedairus kamoi, that biki lemivdik. That was in earlier times that they knew how to do these bedikas. Aval anan loy bikin. We aren't experts, and we therefore can't do bedika. However, says Rashi, nearly the angel of Dain al-Masha and of Royce. Dain can only do what he can do. If the Rav says it's fine, it's fine. However, Rashi says, the Rav, who's attempting to answer this question, he should be very careful. He should bring to him all of the butchers, the kolabekim, the dover. He should be able to pass him properly. And in the Shulchan Aruch and all the Paiskim say that we follow the first part of Rashi. And Rashi says that we're not baki, and that's indeed the halacha. We don't do any of these bedikas when we have in the fula. Up to the point that I saw that the Paiskim say that we know that there are two types of sveikas, there are two types of shailas in halacha. Sometimes there's a suffix in halacha, what is the din? And sometimes there's a suffix that's called a suffix chasaron yedia. The din is the din, the rule is the rule. We just don't have enough factual information. And if you could get the information, then it's not a suffix. And a suffix chasaron yedia in halacha is not the same status of a full-fledged suffix. Say the poskim, that since, as we said, nowadays nobody does bedika, the suffix that arises is considered a full-fledged halachic suffix, not just a suffix chasaron yedia. Nishtaber roiv tzlaseha. So the next case that we learned in the Mishnah that makes an animal a treifa, interesting question, if this issue that we're going to be learning in our shiur today about the broken ribs and the entire rib cage and spine of an animal, does it apply by birds as well? A machloikus rishonim. But by animal, the Mishnah clearly taught us nishtaber roiv tzlaseha, that most of the ribs are broken. So it's important to try to describe somewhat how this looks by an animal. There are 13 ribs, 13 pairs of ribs, connected to a spine. The 13 ribs are connected, the 13 pairs are connected with vertebrae. The word of the Gemara for vertebrae is chulius. And the Mishnah said, Nishtaber roib tzlasah. So as we're going to see in our Gemara in a moment, even though, as I just said, there are 13 ribs in the animal, and then at the end there are the small ribs, those aren't considered the ribs that we're discussing. They'll come up only on the base, the Mitzvah Shem. The halacha only takes into consideration 11 of those 13. Which are the two that are not counted is actually a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say it's the two that are closest to the head. Some say the two that are closest to the back, and say one from the head and one from the back. So we have these. So as far as we're concerned for this Gemara, we're talking about 22. 11 pairs, 11 times 2 equal 22. So if the Mishnah taught us you have to have roiv, what is roiv of 22? 12. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Elu roiv tzlos, what is the situation where you could have roiv, that if you have that many broken ribs, the animal's a trefa? Shesh mikan v'shesh mikan, 6 from each side, v'yachas esrei mikan, or 11 on one side, v'achas mikan and 1 on the other side, all equaling 12. Amar z'ira, but when we say z'iri, when we speak about a broken rib, it's b'chetz and klap b'shedra, the upper half of the rib, the half that's closer to the spine. Amar Rabbi B'chad, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, as we said a moment ago, the only ribs that are counted for this discussion are tzalos gedolos yesh ben mayach. The big ribs, these 11 large ribs that have in them marrow. Interesting question in the Rishonim already. What happens if an animal, here we're speaking about a broken rib, we're going to speak in a moment about an uprooted rib. What is the halacha if an animal was born missing a rib? So will that be the same as if it was uprooted? Or if it was born that way, it'll not have the same rule. Some Rishonim say it doesn't make a difference. And their raya is because all the trefas that we've been discussing in this perek doesn't make a difference if it happened later or was born that way. If it's missing a liver, it's missing a liver. It doesn't make a difference if it was born missing a liver, Rahman Salon, or it's missing a liver later on, or any of the other organs. This is the same. Other Rishonim, however, say that the Gemara, when it keeps on speaking about the ribs, speaks about broken ribs, uprooted ribs, never speaks about a rib that was missing from birth. And therefore, the Ramah in the Dark Moshe actually paskins that the rib is different than everything else, and a rib that was missing from inception is not an issue. And we don't have to worry about that. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula ben Zakkai, Amar Nekra Beroiv Tzar Echad, if it's uprooted, not just broken, so most of one side, that means if you have 6 uprooted ribs on one side of the spine, that will already make the animal a trefa. Nishtabru, but when we speak about broken ribs, Beroiv Shneit Stadim, as we've been learning, you have to have a roiv of the two sides, that means you have to have at least 12 broken ribs. Rabbi Yochanan Amra, Rabbi Yochanan takes a more lenient view, and he says, Bein Nekru, Bein Nishtabru, whether they're uprooted or they're broken, Beroiv Shneit Stadim. You always have to have 11. Either 11 uprooted or 11 broken. Anything less, says Rabbi Yochanan, will not be a trefa. Amar Rav, says Rav, Nekru Tzela V'cholyot, if not only is the rib uprooted, but so too is the vertebrae, trefa. This was the statement that Rav made. And in order to understand the Gemara, we have to, at this point, the Gemara is assuming the Rav Kahana of Asi, who are now going to be posing a question to Rav, were aware of Rav's psak. And Amalei Rav Kahana of Rav Asi LeRav, and they asked Rav, Nek v'tzela mikan, if the rib was uprooted from both sides, the choya kiemis, even though the vertebrae is still standing, amalo mahu, what is the halacha? Gista kamrisa? You're talking about an animal that's been split in two? If a whole pier has been dismantled, a gistera is a treifa. Ask the Gemara, for Rav Nami Gistra Kama. Let's think about what Rav said. Why did Rav only introduce that this is a concern of Gistra when both ribs are removed? If Rav spoke about a tzela v'cholya, since the rib and the vertebrae are removed, that's already a Gistra that we learned at the beginning of Masechtas in the Vela. So what was Rav telling them that he hasn't said himself? Answers the Gemara, Ki kama Rav. Rav was talking about a situation where he only had a tzela b'loy cholya, a rib without a vertebrae. And that's why he didn't call it a gistera. Ask the Gemara, that's not what Rav said. For Rav, let's look at the words Rav used. Nekro tzela v'cholya. For tzela v'cholya kama. Answers the Gemara, tzela v'chatzi cholya. Rav was speaking about a situation where it wasn't the entire vertebrae that broke, only part of the vertebrae that broke. That's why it's a treifa. Rav Kahana of Asi was speaking about Salam, the entire thing broken, that's why it's nevela. Mechlal, says the Gemara, but if Rav is teaching us, asks the Gemara, and again, the Gemara is making the assumption at this point, Rav Kahana of Asi knew what Rav said. Mechlal, Rav Kahana of Asi, tzela b'loy cholya amri, that they were talking about a case where there was no chulya missing. Because if the chulya was missing, we could already understand from what Rav said that it's nevela. Why would they be asking the question? Vamrlay, and yet we see that Rav is taking such a serious position that when both ribs, when a pair of rib are broken, that's considered a nevela. Vamlu, because Rav taught them, gista kamris, that's considered a nevela. Ask the Gemara, let's go back to the top of this Amid, not to the top, to the wide lines. What did Ula say? Only if most, only if six are uprooted, is it a treifa? Nishtabru b'roiv shnei tzadim. Broken, you have to have 11. But let's think about it. Here they're saying that if you have one pier, it's already a nevela. And then he said you have to have six uprooted to make it a treifa. So how could we understand this psak with what Ula Barav? So all of you are thinking, an obvious question. You're all thinking that maybe Ula is disagreeing with Rav. And Rav will call it a nevela, and Ula will say it's not a nevela until six are uprooted. So Mefarshim answer that even though it's very common to find machlaikis in Shash, but to find a machlaikas of extremes is unlikely. To have a situation that where Rav is going to tell you that if you have a pair of ribs uprooted, it's not just a treif, it's a nevela. We know a nevela is much more serious than a treifa. And Ula by Rav is going to say it's kosher, is too extreme of a machlaikas. So that's why the Gemara didn't want to use that teretz. So the Gemara says a different teretz. Hasam zesh loikenegetzeh. So Mara says a very simple teretz. Ula was speaking about six uprooted ribs, all on one side. What is on the other side? The ribs are completely, perfectly intact. So that's where Ula said that for the animal to be a treifa, you have to have all six uprooted. They were speaking about where a corresponding pair, two ribs that are corresponding are uprooted. That's much worse, and that's an nevela. Says Mara, that teretz is fine. But let's go to the next question. Rabbi Yochanan took even a more lenient position than Ula. What was Rabbi Yochanan's position? That to be even by uprooted, you have to have 11. So let's think about it. You have to have 12, I mean. So let's think about it. If you only have 11 ribs, as we started this sugya with, and Rabbi Yochanan says that to be considered a treifa, even in a situation of uprooted, you have to have 12. So let's think about it. You're going to have one pair. If you only have 11 on one side, there's going to have to be at least one rib that has a corresponding rib on the other side that's uprooted. And if Rav is saying as soon as you have a pair of corresponding ribs, it's a nevela, so what is Rabbi Yochanan saying? You need 12. Let's read the words of Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, b'rayv shnei tzadim. Then in order for it to be treifa, you have to have 12. And to have the number 12, b'rayv shnei tzadim, e'ef sh'delo kaimri, chad menai zeh k'neged zeh. That you have to have a corresponding pair. And we just said the Rav is teaching us that when you have a corresponding pair, it becomes a nevela. Answers the Gemara. Hasam buchna b'loy sisa. Rabbi Yochanan was speaking about that the way the rib looks, it's round on top and it goes into a socket. So only it was uprooted that the socket, that the rib was out of the socket. That's why Rabbi Yochanan says you have to have 12 uprooted to be a treifa. Hacha, it's a situation, a buchna basisa, where it's completely broken. And that's why it's much worse. So the Gemara is saying, the Kahana of Asi are not speaking about the same situation that Rabbi Yochanan spoke about. Because Rabbi Yochanan spoke about where it was only uprooted, but the socket wasn't broken. They're discussing a situation where not only is it uprooted, but the socket is broken as well. Ask the Gemara, Yochanan the Rav. So then they're asking the exact same question as Rav, because Rav also spoke about a broken socket. In other words, we've been learning Akasha. What's been our Akasha? If Rav Kahana of Asi were aware of Rav's psak, then what are they asking? So the only way we were able to answer was that Rav was speaking about a situation where the socket was broken or somewhat broken, and they were speaking about a situation where the socket wasn't broken. Now we're saying that Rav Kahana of Asi, in order to answer the question that Rav Kahana of Asi should not be a stira, contradiction with Rabbi Yochanan, was saying that Rav Kahana of Asi are speaking about two ribs with a broken socket. So then there's nothing that they're asking that we can't understand from Rav. So we're back to where we started. The Rav. So no matter where we turn, we have a problem. Either we'll have a problem between Rav Kahana of Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, or we'll have a problem between Rav Kahana of Asi and Rav. Says the Gemara, we have to change what we've been assuming. We've been assuming that Rav Kahane and Rav Asi were aware of what Rav said. But that isn't true. L'shmeinu the Rav. They never heard Rav's psak. Ask the Gemara, if they never heard what Rav said, for Rabbi Meneke the Rav, so why are they asking, says the Gemara question, when two ribs are uprooted with a broken socket? They should have asked even, what's the halach when one rib is broken with an uprooted socket? Answers the Gemara, fascinating Gemara. Savri, Rav Kahana of Asi felt, Liboimene, it's better to ask one question, the Parash Leitarti, better to ask one question that will give us the answer to two questions. And this was their strategy. Dimenai Chada, if they will ask of Rav, again, and they don't know what Rav said. So if they're going to ask Rav, what is the halacha when one rib is uprooted with a broken socket. He, Hanicha, so if Rav is going to answer them, it's Trefa. So they'll understand that if when one rib is uprooted with a broken socket, Koshek and Trey. Certainly with two. That will be the Halacha. However, Yomalam Kshera, if they're going to say, he's going to tell them that it's Kosher, Akati, tired to come in Bailan, so they still don't have an answer because they only will know that if he'll tell them it's treif, they'll know what the halacha is by two. Because it'll certainly be treif. But if he'll tell them it's kosher, they still won't know what the halacha is by two. Ihachi, the thinking was, hashta nami the kabay minei tarti, let them ask the question of two. Hanicha, and if he'll tell them kosher, kshera, koshke, and chada. They'll know if two are kosher, two uprooted and broken sockets, is kosher, certainly one. E amlei treifa, if he'll tell him it's treif, akati chadim ibele, there's still going to be a question, what is the halacha? They'll only know that that's treif, but they won't know what's the halacha when one's uprooted with a broken socket. They'll said, like the Savri, they're thinking, this was their strategy. Let's see how Rav, it's not only what Rav will answer, but how Rav will answer. Savri, in king mersuch karasuch, if when they'll ask, what's the halacha with two? with an uprooted, broken socket. And not only will he answer that it's treif, but he'll say it angrily. They'll understand that by two it's certainly treif, and by one it's also treif. Im kem reskarasa chad treifa. What he'll be meaning to say is one is treif, tartam abayu. So Rashi asked the obvious question. So let them take the other strategy. Let them ask what's the halacha by one. And based on how he answers the question by one, they'll know how to answer by two. If he answers by one, even if it's treif, even if he says it's kosher, but if he says it's kosher nonchalantly, that'll be right that two is not a problem. If I'll say one is kosher, but it won't answer it so obvious, they'll know that two are treif. So Rashi says a very important insight. When somebody comes to Rav to ask a question, and the Rav thinks that you want to say something is mutter when it's really usser, the Rav gets angry. And therefore, if they're going to ask about two, that means the Rav is looking at you and thinking you think two are kosher. And when it's really treif, the Rav's going to get upset. But if he's going to tell you one is kosher, even if it's obviously kosher or not obviously kosher, he's not going to get angry about it because he doesn't look at you as a person that wants to say something is also really mutter. And therefore, they didn't take that strategy. Ask the Gemara, but don't we see that their strategy failed? Because what was their strategy? That if Rav is going to answer by two that are uprooted and broken angrily that it's treif, that'll be an indication that by one so is the din. But we don't see the Rav get angry. So the entire strategy failed. So the entire thinking was wrong. Answering why they weren't wrong. Rav didn't just say that it's treif. Rav said that when you have two uprooted and a broken socket, not only is it treif, but as we explained earlier, it's a gistra, which a gistra is a nevela. So we're able to easily conclude that if two is a nevela, one is a treifa. That was the indication that one is treif. Before we go to the next sugya, I saw a very interesting question. We all remember the Parsik and Parshas Bereishis that when Chava was created, how was Chava created? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took one of the tzlos, one of the ribs of Adam. He was saying an uprooted tzela makes treif. Was Adam reaching a treifa? So the way we're learning the Gemara, it's very easy to understand. Because we're learning that it's only a treifa when it's uprooted and this broken socket. Kadosh Baruch Hu took it, uprooted, but didn't break the socket. But I saw another pshat. As I said at the beginning of this sugya, there are many more than 11 ribs. We're only concerned about the 11 ribs that the Gemara says, Shiesh ben moyach, that have in them marrow. Kadosh Baruch Hu took one of the ribs that don't have in them moyach. That rib does not concern of making the Adam a treifa by taking it out, even if you would have broken the socket. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan, Amar Rabba Bar Sheila, Amar Amast Amar Shmuel. Nekra, he speaks about three treifas. One is Nekra Tzelem Ikara, where the rib is uprooted. The Gogolish Nechbasa Baruba, most of the skull has been crushed. Ubasar Chayfa Esroiva Keres Baruba, the meat that covers most of the flesh of the stomach of the keres, treifa. And now the Gemara analyzes each one of these treifas that Shmuel just discussed. The Gemara just said, nekrut selami kara, if one of the ribs is uprooted, that animal is a treifa. Vermini. We go back to Gemara that we discussed just the other day on Daf Membeis. We know that if you have most of the skeleton of a mace, it has tumas mace, the very high level tuma of tumas oil. And there's a Mishnah that discusses how much of that spine, how much of that skeleton should be missing that it should no longer be metama tumas oil. We have a machloikis, beshamim beshilil, as we learned. Beshamim reshtei chuyus. Only when it's missing two vertebrae is it no longer considered a skeleton and it's metame. Or Beis Hillel Aymer Cholyachas. And Beis Hillel says even if it's missing one vertebrae, it's no longer metame tumas oil. And as we explained, Vamar Yehuda Amishmu, V'chein L'Treifa. That means, here, in the case of Tumas Meis, we focused on this the other time when we learned this in Daf Mem Beis, Beis Shammai is a Machmer, and Beis Hillel is a Mekel. Why? Because according to Beis Shammai, this skeleton is still Matama Oil, unless it's missing two Chuyas. Beis Hillel, as soon as it's missing one Chuya, it's no longer Matama Oil. But by Treifa, it's just the opposite. According to Beis Hillel, as soon as it's missing one vertebrae, it'll be a Treifa. According to Beis Shammai, it has to be missing two vertebrae to be considered a Treifa. And as we said, I saw a very nice word from the Arvid Nachal, as we said when we learned the Sugya on Daf Mem Beis, somebody who takes the Chumrah of Beis Shammai and the Chumrah of Beis Hillel, or the Kula Beis Shammai and the Kula Beis Hillel, somebody takes the Chumrah both as a Rasha, somebody takes the Kula of both, somebody takes the Chumrah both as a Ksil, as a fool, somebody takes the Kula both as a Rasha. So the Arvid Nachal says, why if you take the Chumrah of both, are you just a Ksil? You could actually be a Rasha. Because if you take Beis Shammai's Chumrah, you may end up considering, if you take Beis Shammai's Chumrah, you may end up considering something not treif, really treif. So it shouldn't just be Ksil, it should be considered a Rasha. So Rabbi Nachal answers, this person doing the wrong thing. But why is he doing it for? Because he wants to be frum, he wants to be super religious. So even though he's doing the wrong thing, and even though the Gemara calls him a Ksil, since his intent is correct, we can't call him a Rasha. A person with good intentions can never call a Rasha. But not a question is, Shmuel just taught us on Amun Aleph, on the bottom of Amun Aleph, as soon as one rib is detached, it's already a treifa. So how could we say that according to Beis Shammai, it's not a treifa? Until two ribs are detached, here it clearly says, Shmuel says, as soon as one rib is detached, it's a treifa. Answers the Gemara. Hacha, Shmuel was talking about a situation. Here we're talking about a situation, where the rib is detached, but the vertebrae is not broken. Hasam, there it's referring to a situation, choya b'loi tzela. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam tzela b'loi choya. How you could have a rib uprooted without a broken vertebrae is very understandable. I explained it before. It's a socket. It's a ball in a socket. The ball could be out of the socket, but the socket could be perfectly fine. Ask the Gemara, tzela b'loi choya heichem shkachsla. How could you have a broken socket without a broken rib? Answers the Gemara, b'sholi kafli. Going back to what I said at the beginning of the sugya, the ribs at the bottom that only have vertebrae and don't have any ribs, because those ribs aren't considered halachic ribs, below the 13th rib for sure, so that you can have a broken chuya without any broken rib. Ask the Gemara, we know that Masechta Idyos, the fourth parak of Masechta Idyos, identifies, usually in Shas, Beis Shammai is the Machmer, and Beis Hillel is the Mekel. Over there, the Mishnah identifies all the situations where Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Hillel are Machmer. Machmer Vashya, for listening, so why isn't this example mentioned over there, that we call Beis Shammai the Chumrah Beis Hillel? The according to Beis Shammai, the animal is not a treif until two vertebrae are broken, and Beis Hillel as soon as one. So this is a chumrah of a kula of Beis Shammai and a chumrah of Beis Hillel. Why isn't it mentioned in that Mishnah? Amalei, to which the Gemara responds, Rav ki itchel in yituma itchel. Davar Beis Shammai l'chumrah. The purpose of that Mishnah, going back to what we learned on the top line of this Amid, the purpose of that Mishnah is to discuss Hilchus Tumah, Hilchus Tumas Oil. As far as Hilchus Tumas Oil is concerned, Beis Shammai is the machmer. Beis Shammai says there's still tumas oil unless two choyus are missing. Beis Hillel is mekel as soon as one choyah. Yes, a result of that machloikis is that by treif Beis Hillel is the machmer and Beis Shammai is the mekel, but that isn't the real subject. And the real subject represents chumrah Beis Shammai and therefore doesn't belong in that Mishnah. Mishnah is Nidjus. The next treif that Beis Hillel identified was Gogolish and Nechbis Beruba. Most of the skull was crushed, and as the Rishonim point out, it was crushed, but none of it is missing. Well, Rabbi Goiva, is it just the area above the eyes? Is that considered a cross skull? Or Rabbi Kefa, the entire circumference, which would be a kula, and the Gemara remains with a teiku, because you have a much larger area to put into the area of the skull. We learned the next case that Shmuel identified was Basa Chayfa Rav Hakeris, Berubai, Berav Asher. Berav Kerua, does it have to just be torn to be a Trefa, or Berav Nortel? Or is enough that does it have to be exact missing that it should be a Trefa, which is a cooler, a more lenient approach? Suggest the Gemara, Tishlem Midatanan. Why are we being a Raya from what we learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of this parak? It said in the Mishnah, keris apnimis shenikfa, that's punctured, or shenik, that the keris apnimis is treif as soon as it's punctured, oi shenikfa raif chitzayna, or if most of the outside keris is torn, it's treifa. V'amrim merav mishmed Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina. Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina explained, kol keris kula, really the entire area of the keris is all included, the keris hapnimi. That's all included, the keris hapnimi. What is the keris hachitzayna? Basa chayfa as rav keris. The area of meat that covers most of the keris is considered the rav. That's considered the keris hachitzayna. And what does the Mishnah say regarding the chitzayna? Nikra. So we had a shayla. What does Shmuel mean? Nikra or notel? Here it clearly says nikra. Because the Gemara, the Brishta said that as soon as the chitzayna is nikra, it's already considered trefa. So now we have an answer that according to Shmuel doesn't have to be removed. It's just torn. We'll make it into trefa already. Answers the Gemara. Midu hutama. Whose position are we trying to understand? We're trying to understand the position of Shmuel. Shmuel doesn't agree. Hamrav Yakva Nachmeni Amish Shmuel Makom Shem Beimelis. We spoke about this earlier. In the stomach, there's a part that has like a woolly fibers, and then there's part that doesn't have the woolly fiber. So now we can understand. Shmuel says that what is considered the keres chitzayna Makom Shem Beimelis, but that isn't Basra Choifes Roiva Keres. Basra Choifes Roiva Keres is not the keres apnimi. And not the keres hachitzayna. So yes, Shmuel will hold. The Mishnah says it. He can't argue that the keres hachitzayna, as soon as it's nikra, as soon as it's torn, is treif. But that isn't what Shmuel's talking about. Shmuel's talking about basa choifa esroiva keres, and it could be that the basa choifa esroiva keres doesn't have to be torn to be treif. It has to be notl, it has to be removed to be treif. The Gemara doesn't answer this question.